Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk.
Tree living's gone, lockers are cleaned up. Now it's on to the off season, but lots of news to talk about. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Brad Brood and Kyle Lewis. And Kyle, we are here because Treliving is gone, and we weren't planning on doing a show this week. But, you know, sometimes you just got to break plans when like, look at last offseason. Holy cow, I had more shows last offseason than I did during the regular season because something was happening every day in the offseason. And we may just be in for that again this year.
Well, it's starting to look that way. Yeah, I was not anticipating this to happen as quickly as it did, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised either.
No, and you know what? We're going to talk about a little bit more on the show, but I got a feeling we might have more to talk about later this week, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, we're probably never going to have a week off the way the offseason is looking for the Flames.
I don't know, though, because, like, how much can you do again, and who the hell's going to do it? That's the big question we're going to answer today, is who's going to be calling the shots in Calgary? And yeah. I don't know. Sad news. Both of us are a little bit upset, but Calgary is searching for a new general manager. I did see a bit of good news on Twitter today. I don't know if you saw this, but it said, since the Vegas Golden Knights entered the league, the Golden Knights and Flames have alternated winning the Pacific Division. 17-18 Vegas did. Calgary did in 18-19. Vegas 19-20. 21 didn't exist. 21-22 Calgary. Last this year that just ended, Vegas. Congrats, Calgary. You get the division title next year.
Yeah, I did see that. Grasping at straws, I dare say, but we'll take any positive indicators we can. So with that, I'll start with a positive memory for everybody in Flamesland today. So I didn't wear it, but I do have game-worn jersey for this week is Matthew Lombardi's away jersey from the 2004 playoff run, which he wore for the first few rounds. So it is beat to hell, much like Lombardi was.
That's a classic jersey, though, because that's a good one.
I was telling you before we went on to, it's the easiest game-worn jersey I've ever had to photo match because there's puck marks and stick marks all over it, all kinds of repairs. So, and the reason I grabbed that one was because somebody posted the video of Marty Gelin's Game 7 goal against Vancouver, which was so many years ago today, I think it was, or was it yesterday? It was very recent. So,
what goal was it where Spreakin came off the bench without a skate?
That's a great trivia question.
It was an OT winner.
Oh, it would have been game 6 against Tampa.
No.
Or not,
no.
Game five was the only one I remember that he scored an OT.
No, he didn't score. He was on the bench getting a skate repair. Calgary scored, came onto the ice, and he was shuffling out there with one skate and a sock.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, actually, I remember him trying to skate.
And all I was thinking the whole time was, holy shit, somebody don't step on his foot. You know? Oh, God.
Yeah, he'd end up fall. Yeah, his foot would look like Barron's face for the Jets last night.
Oh, what did you think of that?
It was one of the more gruesome things I've seen. I mean, that... Yeah, obviously, it's an accident when a player is like cross-checking / pushing you from behind in a mad scramble like that. Like those skates are sharp under the bench several times a game. Like it's dangerous.
Thank goodness it was a goalie skate though, because usually a lot of goalies won't have them super sharp. So
yeah,
thank goodness.
Yeah, but when you're grinding your face into it, it'll do some damage just the same.
Oh, 75 stitches and
at least
and returns. And returns.
Now, answer me this. Is that just like hockey tough, or is that kind of dumb?
It's hockey tough, man. I don't know if no, hear me out here. He was saying that it didn't hurt.
Yeah, he said he was more concerned about if the puck was
hit. No, I mean, he said it, you know, he goes, it's not like I got hit hard, you know, where it creates like facial pain. He's like, I just literally got cut.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks sore as hell to me.
It looks awful, but I mean, it's some of the worst looking injuries aren't necessarily the most painful for sure. So
we'll maybe touch on the playoffs today during the show, but a couple things to discuss. I like what I've seen so far. Two nights, top notch. I've loved it so far.
Oh, it's been excellent. It's been excellent. It's just weird. It's not even just the fact that your team misses the playoffs. It's the fact that you can't just like rest in peace. Forgive the crippingness of that, but you can't just, you know, you can't sit there and just be like, okay, my team's done and watch them play off hockey. Like, there has to be all this drama and bullshit in Calgary that, you know, that we've been talking about, so, rather than, hey, how is game one for the Flames?
I know.
Well, there was game one, but the GM decided not to return to the team.
Do you know what I noticed, though, this year watching versus, like, last year when we were in, you know, trying to make a run, was the fact that last year I didn't give a rat's ass about any other game, could have cared less. All I focused was in my life was, is it game day or is it a day off? And I was 100% focused on the Flames games and hardly watched any of the first two rounds last year because I was just that focused. Now, at least this year, I'm like, tonight I'm like, ooh, I'm kind of looking forward to the LA game. I want to see Winnipeg again tomorrow night. That was a good game last night. And Minnesota-Dallas was amazing the other night. So I'm looking forward to that tonight too. So
who are you rooting for?
Who am I rooting for? I'm not going to lie. I'm cheering for Winnipeg right now. I love how that team's been built over the last few years. And I felt so many times that team was so close and then didn't happen. So I'm kind of cheering for them. As the Dallas series with Minnesota, that game progressed in game one, and now tonight I'll make more determinations in game two. I'm leaning Minnesota there because I don't know. I've liked the way they've played. Obviously, I'm cheering for LA. I don't think everybody in Calgary is cheering for LA.
Yeah.
Right? In the Seattle, Colorado, I don't know. I know Seattle won last night. I have a real hard time believing that Colorado still doesn't figure this one out and take care of business.
Yeah, they likely do. I'm firmly behind the Jets at this point for a few reasons. The ones you just mentioned. Also, having been to Winnipeg, super passionate fan base.
Yeah.
Big Dave Lowry fan. So seeing Adam Lowry have a big game tonight is pretty cool. Dave is a super nice guy. So yeah, and I mean, you know, Canadian team that isn't the Oilers, so more power to them. And also was in the Leafs. So.
I went to the second to last game in old Winnipeg Arena before the Jets left. And it was just so sad. It was just so sad. So I was happy when the Jets came back. So,
oh yeah, I was losing my mind. It was great.
All right, today on the show we're going to discuss Brad Treliving not returning as Flames general manager. We'll discuss the reasons, the future, how this affects the coaching staff, how this affects the players, who are the candidates for the new GM are, and then we'll dive into player reactions from locker cleanout day. Some interesting thoughts from the players. Yeah, some insider info there, and lots ahead on Flames Unfiltered. Well, let's talk Treliving. As it was announced Monday that Brad Treliving would not be returning as general manager of the Calgary Flames. I had a hunch the day before. Was it Saturday? What day was locker cleanout? Saturday? What day was locker cleanout?
It all kind of blends together. It's like the COVID years.
Oh, I know. Maybe it was Friday. I kind of had a weird feeling.
I think it was Friday, yeah.
I saw Derek Wills tweeted that Brad Treliving and Daryl Sutter would not speak to the media, and they would still be conducting exit meetings and would hold their end of the season media availability in the coming days. And I thought, that's really odd.
Yeah, it was pretty telling of what was about to happen.
There was a reason for that, wasn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I guess the one thing I want to point out before we really dive into this is, like, regardless of people's feelings, and I've seen so many of different opinions of Brad Treliving as a good GM, a bad GM, should he return, shouldn't he? And there's a lot of reasons. I mean, you and I have admitted to being fans of his, but there's lots of reasons not to be, of course.
I know, and I agree with you, but I think there's probably,
what he's done,
probably more reasons to be a fan. I guess that's just coming from my perspective. There's been some bad signings, but name me a GM that hasn't had that.
None.
I honestly got a little defensive on Flames Facebook yesterday because I was like, well, wait a second, everybody's driving Treliving into the ground. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, he wasn't perfect. But you know, he did. He had a lot of really good signings. Really good signings.
Oh yeah, he did. And I mean, the worst ones that come to mind, just to kind of throw them out there real quick. The Troy Brower signing was obviously terrible. I think Brian Elliott was a good gamble at the time, despite his playoff performance that season. The worst thing that he did, the only, and I don't even want to say so much that he necessarily, but in talking to some people around the team and, you know, people in, you know, involved with former players, I think he really did kind of bungle the Gaudreau situation, and to some extent, and also the Tkachuk situation. And
I disagree, though. I know, me and you disagree on this.
Yeah, but there's some things that I know about it that just, it's a lot more, there's a lot more to it than others necessarily know. And there's, again, like we said, with Tree Living on the Whole, there's different reasons to look at it different ways. But the reality of this, regardless of how one feels, is that Brad Tree Living dumped the Flames. The Flames didn't dump him.
He did, he had the right to do that, because there wasn't
32 of these jobs in the league. Who chooses not to return as GM? Like, that's,
well, and you want to hear my theory on that, since we're digging deep into this? I honestly, I believe that, and I maybe will be proven wrong on this, but here's what I think. I think he looked at this and he's like, I want to stay in Calgary. I've done 9 years here, and for the most part, I know a lot of people might disagree with me, that I think it's been pretty successful 9 years. I know some people would say, we don't have any Stanley Cups. Hey, well, one team wins a Stanley Cup every year.
Yep. I agree with that.
Okay. So, but here's something that I think was the telling factor. And I don't know, and none of us know, but when an ownership group signs a coach longer than what the GM is, or if you want to look at Vancouver, for example, where Vancouver hired a coach before their general manager, that is a recipe for disaster.
Yep, for sure.
It is. It never works, because a general manager, it should be his choice who coaches the team. No ifs, ands, or buts about that, in my mind. If his job's is to fully run the team, then he should be able to fully run the team. And I think one of the problems in Calgary is this. Ownership group loves Daryl Sutter. And rightfully so. Right? But you can't love him to the point where it disintegrates the team. And I think that's what's going on. And I think Brad Treliving sat and looked in the mirror and thought about it really deep and hard and thought, if I can't make a move, and not just with the coach, but with other things, if I'm not in full control and I'm not going to get 4 more years to a contract, I'm sorry, I think I can do better elsewhere. And I think that was a key. I do.
There's no question at all. So one of the things that I was going to mention that I'd, you know, talk to an NHL scout who I'm, you know quite well, some players had indicated in their exit interviews that they did not like Daryl Sutter. They didn't agree with a lot of what he did. And I've, you know, I, you, others all season have said those types of things. Mm-hmm. So to me, and to your point, the fact that Daryl Sutter at his age, and the fact he's a coach who's known to have his welcome work relatively quickly, I don't think it was ever a wise move necessarily to give him a contract extension. You know, the, like, especially the money, you know, he's owed like $8.4 million, well, I think.
I don't have a problem with that if it went in the proper order. If ownership would have went to Treliving and said, we want you for 4 more years, Treliving signs off on that, and then Treliving says, I want Daryl Sutter for 2 more years at $8 million, and ownership said, okay. And Treliving wanted to do that, and he did that. But you can't put the cart before the horse and hope to hell it works out.
No, and that's kind of what happened, right? And the whole, or the other part of the situation that Elliot Friedman reported on, and this is to no one's surprise, is a lot of, you know, tension between Sutter and Treliving. And I mean, mm-hmm. Treliving was recalling the players who wanted to see in the lineup. He traded for, you know, a guy like Troy Stetcher, who was really good on the stretch. At least he did play, but these young guys, they didn't get a fair shake. And then Eric Tuhatchek wrote a great article in The Athletic today saying, you know, like in these shootout losses, you have these super skilled guys like Matthew Coronato or Jacob Pelche available. You have to find ways to integrate them into your lineup. You can't just keep running with a veteran-laden team expecting that's going to, you know, because of their experience, is just going to pull them through.
Right? Time out for a second. I am fine with a veteran-laden team if you're winning.
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle, like, you know, we know how Sutter is, and we know how he likes to run the veterans, right? And if he started the season with that, and we were in first place, and we were winning, and we had a great record, and we were moving through, and those pieces were working, we wouldn't, as a fan base or media or anything like that, wouldn't have been screaming to see Pelche, right? We wouldn't, because things would have been moving in the right direction. But when you have players, and I am not even going to name, we all know the ones that weren't putting up points and weren't succeeding, and things weren't working, and lines were messed up, and we had a left winger on the right side, and a jumbled mess, right? We expect insert energy into what looked like a really slow group of players for much of the season. And there was reluctancy by our coach to do that.
Well, it wasn't, I don't think it was reluctancy as so much as outright refusal far too often. And to your point, yeah, nobody says anything when you're winning. We were never winning. We treaded water all season. We had a winning streak to start the year, a winning streak to end the year.
Yeah.
It's close to the end of the year. That's all we had over an 82 game season.
And I agree with you, Kyle. I do. I totally agree. I mean, how many times did, you know, and it's not just us. I mean, but me and you talked a lot during the year, and we're like, what? I don't understand these lines. I don't understand these lines. I don't understand. And it didn't change all year. And now Jacob Pelche didn't, like, light the world on fire. But I'll tell you what, and I'm an old-fashioned, I mean, I'd say I edge more on the Daryl Sutter side than I do on the new young progressive coach. But gosh dang it, when you need to inject energy, Pelche was just what we needed, right?
Yeah, his enthusiasm, his speed, like, yeah, it was just maddening. So it's, you know, all that said, I don't think anybody should necessarily be surprised that that Treliving chose to do what he did, and he's a top two candidate for other, you know, openings in the league, maybe with the Penguins. I mean, the guy's brilliant, and he built a pretty competitive team most years, right? Ooh.
We wanted him bad out of Arizona, and we got him. I mean, this guy was the guy we wanted. I mean, this is, I mean, everything that we could ask for. And I know there's people that wanted him fired because we weren't winning, and this and that. And I don't know. I mean, winning the Stanley Cup's damn hard. It's damn hard.
Well, they won a deeper playoff runs too, which I can appreciate. And this team, certain renditions of, were certainly capable of that. It just didn't come to fruition, right? As the team has still been fairly competitive the last few years.
People forget that last year we were cocked and loaded for a Stanley Cup run. And had things, if composure would have stayed better and we'd have got better goaltending in the Edmonton series, who knows, right?
And if your best defenseman wasn't basically crippled against the best player in the world, in Chris Tanev, against Connor McDavid, I mean,
then what? Yeah, then what? But that didn't happen.
So now that that's happened, the other piece of this, you know, that I learned yesterday, I guess now, is that many people in the Calgary organization are big fans of Craig Conroy and want to see Craig Conroy be the next GM of the Flames. And before we start to debate him as a potential candidate or talk about that at all, it's worth pointing out that Craig Conroy has been with the Flames since he retired. He started as a special assistant to Jay Feaster back in 2011 and has been in the assistant GM role since 2014. This guy has been watching for a long time, longer than it would seem, because I mean, I remember obviously when Conroy played, I think he finished with just over 1,000 NHL games. Yeah. And it's like, you kind of forget that basically 10 years has passed and he's, you know, been in this assistant role to some extent that entire time. So he's a well-liked guy. He's a well-respected guy. And I think he's a great candidate for the job, assuming, and I have no reason to believe this, especially after the press conference, assuming he actually has some control. And I don't think that anybody in the GM chair in Calgary necessarily does.
I like Craig Conroy.
How do you not like Craig Conroy?
Yeah, exactly. I never heard anybody say they didn't. And I don't know that he wouldn't be a really good selection for this.
You know who didn't like him? Originally, it was Jerome McGinley when he got traded to Calgary.
I know. I heard that. I actually just saw that.
He changed his mind pretty quick, but I'll never forget that.
I do have some reservations about it, though. I do. And here's what my reservations are. I don't want to hire somebody because it feels good, because they were a past hero, because they fit into the position because they are a Calgary guy. Now, I don't take his work, what he's done, and everything that embodies Craig Conroy lightly either. I would consider him a strong candidate. But I don't want Craig Conroy as our general manager if he's just going to be the yes man to the owner that won't stand up to Daryl Sutter. You know, if he's not making the decisions, if he's going to truly be able to make the decisions, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But if he's just going to be the puppet, then I don't think it's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to Flames fans, and I don't think it's fair to the team.
That's exactly my point. And I think that's what kind of went on, you know, the back half of the year that we just talked about. So, because to me, like, the GM's job is to assemble the team. The coach's job is to coach said team. But that didn't necessarily happen because the team that Tree Living assembled was not used to the extent it should have been. Like we talked about, again, Peltier didn't play enough down the stretch. Walker Dewar ever being scratched. We've talked about that. Made no sense. So if the understanding is I'm giving you these skilled players or these better players, these younger players, whatever it is that you need, because you're not succeeding with what you're putting out, the coach has to change that. There's only so many bag skates. There's only so many players only meetings. There's only so many of those things you can do. And it's like, okay, this is, and I'm going to come right out and say it, and it's no secret, a lot of what happened was absolutely the coach's fault. Now, we can pick on people like Nazem Kadri, you know, guys who goaltending was terrible virtually all season long. There's different reasons.
There was players that didn't do their part.
Absolutely. But when it came down to, okay, we're at 86 points, let's say. We got to try and squeeze in the playoffs, get some playoff revenue, maybe go on a run. You got to ice your best team. And the coach repeatedly refused to do that. And then the cherry on top, he uses an absolute scrub in Nick Ritchie in a shootout. So I think that's the kind of stuff that's on
the edge. I can't argue back with you. I think the problem is the coach has the most power in the organization right now. Yeah. And if we were winning, we'd love the coach because we did for years, right? And if anybody says they wouldn't, they're lying to themselves, because we all did. And if we started winning right now and Sutter was in charge, no matter who we had in the ice, we'd love him again. But the problem is that when it's so glaring, the decisions are not in the best interest of winning. Yep. And instead, they're in the best interest of proving your point, your being the coach. I don't believe that's beneficial for the team, and the fans saw through it this year. The fans saw through it, and I think Brad Treliving saw through it too. And he's like, "Well, if I'm not the one making the decisions, and this coach isn't my guy in it," and I've heard from a lot of people and reliable people that Sutter really was Treliving's. He wanted to hire him, and I don't doubt that that's not the truth.
Well, he said it at the time. You know, I think this team needs Daryl Sutter. And lo and behold, he was right. Look at the season they had.
He was right.
Just the shelf life wasn't what Flames ownership apparently wanted it to be.
And I don't know that the shelf life's gone. I mean, I can't. I mean, am I? Okay. Let me say this either. Right now, if I heard that Sutter wasn't coming back tomorrow, my response would be okay, and I'd feel pretty good about the season coming up. Now, if I heard that Sutter is coming back 100%. I'm not going to be mad, but I'm going to be, he better be coming back, not on the terms to please the poor babies on the team, because there's a few of them on the team, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the majority. I think there's a couple poor babies on the team that feel like they need to get their way. And I don't have any time for players like that. Coach is a coach. But if Sutter came back with the idea that he had to be a little bit more progressive and work for long term, not just, I mean, not just keep slamming out $800,000 a year veterans that are, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I don't know that I don't know that he can do that. I don't know that he has the mindset to ever do that.
You know what you're basically saying, or what I'm hearing, I guess, is he needs to come back humbled.
Yes.
And because, you know, nothing yeah. drives me crazier about That's... him than the fact that he never admits mistakes. And if I had any reason to believe he could come back and, you know, play some of the younger guys, move on from these guys, or as I've repeatedly said, use them sparingly, which he's never proven he could do, like...
You'd be good with it, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, because he's a great motivator. Yeah. He's a good teacher. It's just...
But he's got Jack Adams syndrome right now.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, too, with the Flames, and this is really... I tweeted about this, about the dysfunction in the Flames organization, and I've never been a bigger believer in it than I am now, because that press conference of the day was an absolute sham. Now, Don Maloney, and I like Don Maloney. I've met Don Maloney. He's been in the league a long time. I liked a lot of what he had to say. I thought John Bean was, you know, like shoved out onto the stage.
I think he was. I don't think he wanted to be there.
Oh, he sounded like a babbling idiot. Like,
I think he's in a tough spot because, I mean, think about his job. He's between the owner and he's just like the lost guy, isn't he?
Well, he's the guy that has to follow Ken King. And to me, it's like here in Canada, I can't remember the guy's name, Mulclair maybe, that had to follow the NDP party after Jack Layton. Jack Layton was a great leader. Still miss the guy. He's been dead for years. Same thing with Ken King. I wouldn't necessarily like everything Ken King did, but he was a great community ambassador. He was a great public speaker. And when he sat there, he had a
stoic
presence.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And John Bean, it's like, yeah, to me, it was just the yes man of an absentee owner. And it really exposed some of the shitty inner workings of this team.
Yeah.
Because to me, and fans have been clamoring for this, the best thing they could do right now, regardless of personnel decisions, and this is just coming to me, so just hang on as I ramble. The best thing they could do is have Murray Edwards actually show up and hold a press conference and talk about the state of the team. Because I'm going to say, holy shit, Murray Edwards is here. He actually cares about this team. Right? But he just wants to sit there and avoid taxes in England, and that's his prerogative. He's a billionaire, you know? There's such a lack of accountability with this franchise.
I agree, but we still have to be thankful that he wants the team here.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. But this is,
and I'm not saying that you're not. I don't mean that. I have seen some fans screaming that the ownership group sucks. And I mean, are they operated the way we want them to be right now? No. They're not. But we still have to be thankful that they fought through some times where they could have pulled the plug in Calgary, right?
And damn near did.
I know.
2004 basically saved the team, you know. Mm-hmm. The season ticket drives in the early 2000s was like, where the team's going to be sold if we don't, you know, pull it together. So there's always been a willingness, I think, to try and keep it there. But the way that they operate is just so backwards, and it just doesn't understand the NHL these days.
When Don Maloney said on the press conference 2 days ago, I think we need a progressive thinker, something different, some sharp person that's going to get to the that's on the cusp of getting his chance. What were you thinking?
That was Brad Tree Living. 9 years ago, that was Brad Tree Living. That's the first thing I thought.
So but the guy that he just described there isn't going to get along with Daryl Sutter. Because no, Daryl Sutter's not a progressive thinker. He doesn't think about anything different. Like what he described there is the exact opposite, minus the sharp person. I would say Daryl Sutter is probably a very intelligent person. But he's not a progressive thinker.
You ever go to a house party? You're talking to another couple, and you just get the sense like they're kind of putting on a show. There's probably a divorce impending.
Yeah, that's, where are we going not, with this not, one? No. Yeah, I have been in that situation. Yes.
Yeah. Not to say nobody's going anywhere right now with the Flames other than Tree Living now, but it's like you kind of got the sense Maloney's telling the fan base what they want to hear and also saying the right things. And then you got, you know, the other guy there, John Bean, just sitting there like, you know, trying to put some fires out and just throwing out these ridiculous microcosms of answers to much larger systemic problems with the Flames.
I agree. But you know what? There is no way that he can walk out into the press conference and say, hey, things are a mess right now. We're not sure. We got a coach signed for $8 million. We're on the hook for that. We can't just send them packing and eat the $8 million right now. Trulieman doesn't want to be here. Now we got to find someone to fill the role that's going to be able to put up with Daryl Sutter. We can't. He's not going to be able to come out and say that in the press. Even though he may be thinking that. And we're all thinking that.
He needed to do a better job of what he said. He didn't. I didn't buy any of it. I mean, he didn't sell me a thing. And not that he necessarily could have, I suppose, but I didn't like the presentation. It came across ingenuine. It came across dishonest. It didn't do a thing for me. And, you know, like, I think there's a lot of, I don't know how to say that. Like a lot of old boys mentality with the Flames organization. I mean, yep. I'd heard before a few years ago that a few scouts had left the team because they were not fans of Brad Pascal, you know, in his role. And he's still with the team. It's like,
well, he's a candidate for GM,
which sounds to me from what I've heard over the years would be a terrible mistake. That's just what I've heard. I'm not here to say that it would be or it wouldn't be, but the general understanding in pro sports as owners is like when your team fails, there's only certain things you can do to change it up. And like what happened in Pittsburgh, I mean, that core is aging. I don't necessarily blame Ron Hextall and Brian Burke and everybody there for why that team failed. They're getting older and it's super competitive. It happened, but they made a bold choice that the Flames have never, ever made. It's like across the board. Everybody's out. We need some new thinkers. What's funny to me though, and we have to mention this because it's all over Flames Twitter. We got to talk about this. Is all of these people screaming for Kyle Dubas as if Kyle Dubas is already unemployed looking for a job.
Yeah,
and I'm saying it like five times a day.
And like Kyle Dubas has done such a wonderful job in Toronto, it looks like.
Well, you know, and that's what kind of makes me laugh because he's completely handcuffed that team to some extent anyway. Oh. With like the Tavares contract is horrific.
Look at next year, how much turnover they're going to have.
Yeah. But Trulieman was the guy when we had him that was typically retaining players. Like Elias Lindholm has the best contract in hockey.
Well, we got Noah Hanifin signed at a good contract. Anderson signed at a good contract. I mean, come on. We've got a lot of guys that are good hockey players signed.
Take those three contracts, great examples you just gave. Take those three. Find me the best three on every other NHL team. Let's see how they compare.
I think they're not as good. I don't think they are either. I don't think they are.
So the whole Kyle Dubas argument is just, it's so funny to me. It's like, he's not even unemployed. There's no reason to believe at this point he will be unemployed.
Well, I heard, to take it a step further, I heard that Brad Trulieman was going to take over in Toronto when Kyle Dubas gets fired. I'm just like, oh my goodness gracious, whatever. So let me ask you this question.
It's just such a mess.
If I said ownership chose Sutter over Trulieman, what would you say?
Our owner's an idiot.
No. Do you think they did? Do you think that's what happened?
I don't know if that's what happened. I think they put... they put Trulieman in a hell of a position. Because if they're the ones that handed Daryl Sutter this contract, which, I don't know. Like, to me, it's just like...
the sad thing is, Kyle, the sad thing is, last year, in the first round last year, which we were in right now, and we would have said, and we said, well, they re-signed Sutter for two more years, we'd have been happy as hell.
At the time, yeah, because you're riding that wave. But right.
I mean, are we ever happy as fans? I mean, are fans ever happy? Unless you're hoisting the cup, are you happy? I hope not. But I mean, I want to try to, I guess the reason I say that is I want to try to like look at this in like a realistic, you know, we can't have everything go perfectly. But I'm still a firm believer, and I know me and you have talked about this on the show like probably a dozen times. Like, you have to build a team that has some bigger end players, cap hits, but you have to have some guys on entry level deals that are producing for you, or you're not going to win a cup. And with the way Sutter was building it, putting in, you know, 36-year-old veterans at $800,000, that's pretty tough. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, look where it got us, right? So to your point, yeah, I mean, during that playoff run, probably wouldn't have had an issue with it, but hindsight being what it is, it just, I don't know. That's a lot of money and a lot of term to a guy that doesn't have a long shelf life, especially, you know, in today's NHL. And the system worked last year, but you know, you could outscore everybody. Your goaltending was very good. We didn't have the same scoring this year, obviously, and I don't think it was fair to expect that we would. And the goaltending
was terrible. Well, I don't know that our scoring wasn't that far off of last year. It's just that our goaltending was that far off of last year.
Yeah, but you didn't have that one line that just dominated all the time.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. It's at the end of the day, what it boils down to me is hierarchies exist in organizations for a reason. And your coach should never, ever be in a position to override your GM.
I agree.
I think that points to a much larger problem to me that clearly this team has not figured out.
Yep. No, so, that is the dysfunction. Yep. That is the root of the problem.
And it would seem to me, because ownership are clearly fans of Darryl Sutter, as we all are as Flames fans, as we should be, that doesn't mean, you know, that it's a good fit anymore. No. I still think very fondly of a girl that I dated years ago. We were very, very close, and I think the role of her. I don't want to date her again, and I don't think she wants to date me either. So,
it's a reality, isn't it? I mean,
it's just the way that it is, you got to move on eventually. And some of these things, the timing's bad. Sometimes you do try again. The Flames did, and they got a bit out of it, but they got as much as they're going to get, as far as I'm concerned.
Locker cleanout. What conversations during locker cleanout caught your eye?
Backlund and Lindholm. Everybody talked a lot about, especially Backlund, and I understand why. What about yourself?
Obviously, those were the glaring ones, just because they weren't real positive. And you know what? They didn't tell us what we wanted to hear, and that was that we plan on re-signing with you. But, you know, yeah. I listened to that. And Michael Backlund's my favorite player on the team. But I sat and I thought about it. And I thought, you know what? If he would have came out in that and said, after the way this year went, if he would have said, oh, no, I can't wait to sign in Calgary. I'm ready to put, you know, pen to ink here. I would have been like, what the hell?
You wouldn't have believed him.
Right? I wouldn't have believed him, right? But what he said to me was genuine. I don't know, man. I got another year. And we're going to see what happens. He didn't say he wasn't going to sign in Calgary. Didn't say he was either. And that's his right. And same with Lindholm. I don't even think it'd be good for them to say, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the one guy that said, oh, yeah, is Noah Hanifin. And I don't know that he isn't the guy getting chopped this summer.
Well, also Michael Stone.
Michael Stone doesn't need to say anything because we already know what Michael Stone wants to do. And you know what? We all think that he should be re-signed next year.
But, yeah, and he did say it. And he was, you know, he said all the things that we all want to hear. Mm-hmm. And it would have been so cool if, you know, I guess Don Maloney in this case had, or well, I guess Tree Living at that time. They should have just walked in and just handed the league minimum contract to him. Here, sign right here. Okay, thanks. We'll see you at training camp.
You know what other comment caught me off guard? Adam Raziskas. Did you see this one?
I can't recall what he said.
He said the message, he said after his exit meeting talking with the I guess it was Maloney and Sutter, his comment was, I want to be the future of this team. I want to play every game and I want to do the best I can to help the team. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not calling him a liar. I think he truly does want that. But why does it not seem like I see that on the ice when he gets a chance to play?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, when I heard the comment, I was just like, man, like of anybody that I thought was going to say, I want to change the scenery, it was going to be him. I mean, he signs a one-way deal and plays, what did he play last year? 15 games?
Between 20 and 30, I think, but not a lot regardless. Obviously he progressed a lot and scored a fair bit when he was in the lineup. So
he did.
Maybe this is the team he thinks he can succeed with. Maybe he had an exit interview in which he, you know, Sutter was very complimentary of him or something, and said, you know, you've got a bright future here and keep doing what you're doing. And because I think he really wanted him to watch guys like Trevor Lewis and kind of ride the pine a bit, or rather sit in the press box and eat popcorn and kind of figure it out. So maybe they told him they have plans for him and that he's got to put in a big summer of training. I mean,
how about Troy?
Who can say at this point?
How about Troy Stetcher's comments? Pretty positive about wanting to be in Calgary, and I don't know why. This is a guy
that, hell wouldn't he?
Holy cow! I was super happy with the way he played.
I don't know of any trade deadline acquisitions that worked out better than Troy Stetcher.
No.
The guy, you got it. I mean, to me, after he signed the guy, because he's still going to be cheap. He's mobile. He's a character guy. Like all those cliches, he's got a spot on the team. The other one who was very complimentary was Nikita Zadorov.
Yeah.
Another one like Hanifin who should be shopped because, you know, the return on his 14 goals would be pretty decent, I would think.
He said, I told my wife I want to be a Calgary Flame forever.
Yeah.
Which is great. Which makes us feel good, right? Like, I do want to hear that. I don't know if I want, I mean, how many more years can I handle watching? Gosh, I shouldn't say that because he was really good at times. It's one of those things. He's all over the place.
That's another problem, though. That's another problem. So year over year. So Zadorov and Gudbranson were a great pairing after struggling for about 6 weeks in the 21-22 season. This year, obviously, Gudbranson was gone. Zadorov was elevated and probably shouldn't have been on too many nights. He was not properly used. Now, because he was used a lot, he scored 14 goals, had a few massive hits. But he's not meant to play as much as he did. And that's another thing that I fault Darryl Sutter for. And all those glaring mistakes you'd see, it's a guy that's playing over his head, in my opinion.
He's definitely in an elevated role this year with Chillington not here. And, you know, I mean, he was definitely elevated. Do we get too attached to players here?
Absolutely. Realistically, come to think of it, not just fans, but the whole friggin' franchise gets too attached to players. Jerome McGinley was hung on to far past his best before date. We always go back to Joel Sutter to coach the team. You know, Kiprusoff probably could have been moved sooner.
You want to take it a step further? I heard rumors this week if Connor is involved, then McGinley is going to be part of it. And I'm like, oh, jeez. Oh, boy.
That'd be cool, but I'd find that hard to believe just because McGinley's, you know.
I love Jerome McGinley, don't get me wrong. But, like, plug it in the sentimental person for the job probably isn't where this franchise should be right now. We need to make sure we get the right damn person for the job so that we can progress forward, right?
Well, you never know. Steve Yzerman was great in Tampa and is doing the right things, I believe, in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I could see Aguila being similar in an executive role, but right now it's a lack of experience. And also the fact he lives in Boston and his kids are still quite young, and I think he's more focused on his family and not necessarily interested in anything to do with the management role in the NHL right now. 5 years from now, I could see it. Right now,
probably not time. It's hard sell for me. I'm with you there. Is Darryl Sutter coach of this team next year?
Oh, why'd you ask me that? I feel like I say that to you once every podcast. Why'd you ask me that? No.
Okay, Kyle, I'm going to say something here. I heard all week that Wednesday was the day that Darryl Sutter would speak to the media. I heard he had family things to take care of on Monday and Tuesday, and that he was meeting with Maloney either Tuesday or Wednesday, and he'd be speaking with the media on Wednesday. And there's nothing. Crickets, nothing. Yeah. Haven't heard a word all day.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Like, what do you think? Do you think he's back?
I mean, honestly, right now, if I had to put money down on it, I'd probably say that if Treliving went, that Sutter stays.
Yeah.
And Conroy would be the fit that will keep Sutter here, and that would be the easy road to take. But if Maloney is told by management that he needs to bring the right GM in and do the right things for the future of this organization, Sutter's gone. Because the second Sutter's told that he isn't in control of those things, he's gone.
I'm inclined to agree. Now, I'm curious to see where this all goes for what you just mentioned in terms of his availability or lack thereof to this point. I like to see the Wranglers win the Calder Cup, which they're poised to do. Also, side note, Dustin Wolf, AHL Goaltender of the Year again.
Yep.
I'd love to see a coaching staff with Ryan Huska, with Mitch Love and his sister or something like that.
Would you or would you rather... And I'm not knocking that. I just, it bothers it. If a complete search for a GM is done and a coach and a full coaching staff, like if we're going to like nuts and bolts all the way down, right? if they're found to be the best for the job, I'm fine. But if they're hired because it's the path of least resistance, I don't like that. See, well, I think Jeff Ward was hired because it was the path of least resistance.
Right? Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Ryan Huska has paid all of his dues and done a great job and so much love, so I can just see some combination of those two being...
Quite honestly, they probably, truthfully, earned it.
Same as Dustin Wolf. You're not going to play Dustin Wolf because he's your best goaltending option in the AHL. You're going to play him because he's the best fucking goaltending prospect in the world right now. You know? So... That and that situation, that's going to be really interesting to see what happens because, you know, these all these expiring contracts, potential trades, the Flames can't rebuild. They have to retool based on the contracts they have in my mind. Well,
we're not set up for a rebuild right now. With the way our roster is, no way. And I don't even know if that's what needed. Do you think a rebuild is needed? No.
No, not at all.
No, I don't either. I do have one question before we roll. There. Next year, Dustin Wolf is in his final year of his contract, his ELC.
Yep.
With Jacob Markstrom having two more years at $6 million, what is Wolf signed for?
It's impossible to say until he plays more in the NHL, right?
I know. But let me throw something out. Let's say he gets a chance next year, which I don't think he will, but let's say he does.
He better.
And he lights up the league, right? Mm-hmm. He has one more year, has another good year, right? And he says, I want 4.5 for a couple years.
Done.
So then you're going to have $11 million or $10.5 million tied up in goaltenders?
For a season or so, yeah, I'd do it.
Sure. Yeah, you don't have a choice. Or is Jacob Markstrom going to...
It's a lot, but it's not the worst. But, I mean, Markstrom, by that point, he's potentially a tradable asset with a little bit of salary retention. I just don't see... And it's a short-term deal for Wolf. And you basically tell him, we have to bridge you because of our contract situation with Markey. I think all parties are agreeable. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because, you know, Dan Vladares would be the odd man out in this case and very well could be.
Well,
let me ask you this. Do you think that the Flames trade Vladar this summer?
No.
So you think we go into training camp with a three-headed monster goaltenders again?
I think we go into it with a three-headed monster, and I think that Wolf goes to the AHL. It all depends on who's coaching. Like, I mean that with as much respect as I can. Like, if Sutter's coaching, like, no. He's going back to the AHL. We'll run with the Vladar Markstrom. And if one of them gets hurt... he's there. I still believe that's how it works. If we have a different coach, if we have a different coach next year, right, and a new GM, we may see Vladar moved simply because that would free up a little bit of cap too that we desperately need in Calgary.
Yep.
Albeit only possible. A couple million, but we do need that. It's going to be interesting. There is some questions.
Well, that's the thing. That we talked about this prior to recording this show. We didn't plan a recording this week, in so fact that we don't necessarily plan a recording next week. But because of the nature of the summer in pro sports, but also more than ever, the situation for the Calgary Flames, it's a day at a time.
It is a day at a time. I mean, you're right.
We might have to do two shows in a week if things get really crazy.
We might. And right now, we weren't going to do a show this week, but we did. Now, next week, we plan to take next week off and be back the following week. Who knows? We might be back. We might be back talking coaches. We might not be. So that's how the offseason is going to work. We're going to keep everybody posted on Twitter and Facebook and everything and let you know when the shows will come out and what we're going to be talking about and everything like that. But and it's an interesting week, a sad week in Calgary, I guess.
End of an era. It really is. Brad Tree living. You know what? We had that 15 playoff run. We had the 19, you know, amazing season. You know, the year we lost to Colorado, but just a phenomenal regular season. Last year was a ton of fun. Game 7 win over Dallas. Like, it's created some fairly memorable moments in Flames history because we've had a pretty mediocre history. And as far as general managers go, I'd rank up there with the best of them.
I would agree with you. I'm sad to see him go, but I'm also excited to see what comes of this summer, because it's going to be an interesting few weeks. Draft is not that far away, so things are going to have to get nailed out pretty quickly.
Yep, absolutely. Wait and see.
Wait and see. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Kyle and I will be back 2 weeks for sure. 2 weeks for sure, but you may just be listening to us next week too. We'll see how news comes out of Calgary. Enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs. They have been amazing so far, and yeah, have fun watching hockey. Connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The wind calls, playoff! Yeah, baby! Playoff! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.